Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun, and this is going to be our last class of this semester, this school year. I just want you to know it has been a blessing, an honor, and a privilege to serve in this capacity as an instructor in Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I thank God for this opportunity, and I just trust that you have received from this class and have learned how to walk in honor to a greater degree. Amen, because that's what it's all about, that you serve your pastor, serve your apostle, serve your man of God, and serve him with honor. So we're going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get off into the third way to produce honor, by being competent. Amen. Father, I just thank you for each and every student. I thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made and that we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank you for Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., Lord God, who is the president and founder, hallelujah, of this great school and this great ministry that we're sitting under here, Lord. And I trust, as always, Holy Spirit, I expect you to show up, hallelujah, and undergird me, because if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm leaning completely and totally upon you. Amen. Now, and I know I've said it before, but I like to use that last phrase, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to show up. You always want to expect the Holy Spirit. Not that he's not going to show up, but you want him to endorse, commission, and that the power of the anointing is on what you're saying. So I always acknowledge him, you know, and I know he's showing up. But at the same time, I always want to make him known that I know you're here, because if you're not, I can't do this without you. It's a matter of yielding. Amen? Okay, let's move on to the third way to produce honor, which is being competent. All right. Hebrews 5:13-14 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So you want to be competent. You don't want to be incompetent in ministry. You want to be competent. Competent means that you can hold your own. And in order to be competent, there's got to be a level of maturity there. You can't just be a novice, you know, and not know anything, because I know there's a preparation time and I know there's a training time, but there gets to a point now where once the training is done, you need to, by faith, begin to walk into your area of anointing and be confident that you know, God's going to do what he promised in his word. Amen. When I was a child, it says, I talk as a child. I thought as a child. I reason as a child. Now I have become a man. I am done with childish ways or immature ways and have put them aside. That's 1 Corinthians 13:11, and that's the Amplified version. Grow up spiritually, get your soul in alignment. That's so very important. Grow up spiritually and get your soul in alignment with your assignment. Amen. To be competent in ministry and build honor, you must put away childish things and walk in spiritual maturity, growing up in Christ in all things. How can God give us strong spiritual meat if we are still sucking on a spiritual bottle? You know, we have to go and we have to grow up spiritually and mature and start walking on the water and stepping out in our faith in our God-given assignment so that we can be competent. You know, I said last week, I remember when the Lord called me into prison ministry in apostle's office. And that was my first step in actually doing any kind of ministry. We had a word cell prior to that, but now I'm actually going out and I'm ministering to men. And I use that illustration as being on the backside of the mountain, because nobody but the inmates and the guards who were there knew I was there. And, you know, some of them didn't care. But I'm there doing ministry. And just to give you another point about that, the first several months of doing ministry in that capacity. This new facility that we were in, they did not allow the ministers to come in contact with the inmates. They would bring me in a room, just like I am now, but I was sitting behind a desk, and they had a VHSC camera where they would record my message. I would minister for 30, 40 minutes, and I would take some of the notes that Apostle had given us on spirit, soul, and body, on righteousness, on faith, and what have you, and I would look into the camera, just like I'm looking into the camera now, and minister to the inmates. When I leave, I had no idea that they were showing those tapes. I just had to be trustworthy that they were doing it. I remember one day the guy, he looked in his bag and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have another tape." He said, "I'm sorry you made the trip for nothing, but next time I'll get some more tapes." And I was really ready to minister, so I said, "Not a problem. I'll see you next week." And when I was driving back to my house, which was about a 30, 40 minute drive away, there was a K&B drugstore that I was passing by. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Pull in that drugstore, go get you a tape and go back over there." So I went, I got a 2 or 3 pack of tape, and I showed the officer the tapes. He said, "Okay, you didn't have to do that." I said, "Well, it was right there and I was leaving, and so, hey, I'm here, you know, let's do it." He said, "Okay." I said, I'll reimburse you. Don't worry about that, you know, because it was about ministry, amen? Okay, so we're talking about being competent. Okay, let me start off here. Ministers and ministries of helps have to be competent in their gifts. So their gifts have got to be developed. The only way a gift can be developed, it must be exercised. Whatever in ministry you find to do, whatever you find can do, your hand finds to do in ministry, do it. Make yourself available. A lot of times you may not necessarily know where your level of anointing is, but when you get your hands busy, God, because now you're making an effort to serve God and to serve your man of God, God will guide you in His perfect will for your life in ministry. Amen. So whatever your hand finds to do, go ahead and do it, and you'll see yourself begin to grow in ministry. Amen. Because what happens is ministers develop programs, and I don't like the word programs, that's what the author used, but give assignments to those in ministry to help sharpen their gifts. And the individuals, you're ministering, so now you're ministering into their strengths. But at the same time, if you do not minister into their strengths and develop their weaknesses in moments of pressure, their incompetence can be released. You know, and see, that's why it's so very important to stay under a covering, because the covering is going to protect you. You know, yeah, you might mess up, you might make some mistakes here or there in ministry, but when you go and you're going under covering, that covering is there to protect you. You know, one of the things I always do is I always acknowledge my man of God, the ministry that I'm assigned to, that I'm under, my covering, and I recognize, I'll let the people that I'm ministering to recognize that I'm not doing this on my own ability. I've been called and commissioned and sent out by my man of God to accomplish this task. If I'm sent to minister to somebody at the hospital or at a nursing home or whatever, I let them know that, you know, I'm here on assignment from my apostle, you know. So I'm packing his anointing and insight and wisdom that I need to handle this situation that's going to be present itself, because I didn't just go, I was sent. Amen. And that's so very important. Let me move on. Got a lot to cover here. Every individual has been endowed with gifts, but at the same time, inherent in each of us are weaknesses, inadequacies, and levels of incompetence, limitation, lack, frailties, and vulnerabilities in our own ability. To these inadequacies, we need to build protection for the individual and develop accountability, structure, and system for success of the upcoming ministry. It is so important that there are levels of accountability for young ministers, someone that they can answer to and protect and have a covering for. You know, that's why, you know, it's so important to have a spiritual father. It's so important to have a pastor who submitted to apostolic government, because all of that covers you in ministry. Under unreasonable pressure, demonic attack, jealousy, letdowns, if this protection is not provided for the ministry individual, they could leave the ministry early and leave without the blessing, disconnect for no good reason, which is going to bring a curse or dishonor upon themselves that creates famine, drought, and barrenness in their lives. I've seen people leave too early. I've seen people get up and go. And when I see them years later, there's barrenness, there's drought, there's famine in their lives. You know, in other words, not that they're starving or anything, but there's no productivity. You know, there's no productivity. You know, understand a covering for ministry, and understanding and knowing the importance of a covering is so very important. Amen. Ministers need someone to speak into their lives. That's, we're all talking about competence here. Somebody, spiritual authority and rank, who can speak into their lives and eliminate weaknesses. That's what a covenant is designed to do. See, when you become a part of a ministry, you're under a covenant, or you have cut a covenant with your pastor, your apostle, what have you, and you're serving, and your weaknesses, hallelujah, is exchanged for his strength as you submit properly. Amen. And that's so very important that we understand that. Let's also, that covenant helps jerk the slack out of you. A lot of times we might get complacent. And our man of God, our pastor, needs to jerk the slack and get us back on track and keep the fire under our feet. And that's so very important if you want to walk in honor, because, you know, sometimes it can be a lonely road. But when there's accountability, you know, that there's a responsibility that you have to do. All right. The fourth way to develop honor is to have good conduct, good moral conduct. Praise God. Becoming a minister of God. I'm going to read this from Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, your conduct has to be above board. You know, a good, moral, just, righteous, you know, you got to walk in your righteousness. Amen. Ephesians 5, 3 and 5 in the Amplified says, but immorality, sexual vice, all impurities of lust, rich, wasteful living, or greediness must not even be named among you, as is fitting and proper among saints, God's consecrated people. He says, let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, or foolishness, or sinful, silly, and corrupt talk, nor coarse gesturing, which is not fitting or becoming, but instead voice your thanksgiving to God. Having a good example before you is one of the first steps in walking in good moral conduct. When you have a man of God that's living right and that's serving God and is a good example, it's easy now to follow that example. You know, so you know, if you're sitting under somebody who's not living right, you need to find somebody who's living right, because that expression, the apple don't fall far from the tree. You know, I've seen that even in the natural. You know, a father who was a Jody, who run in the street, running women. The son ended up getting involved in even worse things than the father did. I've seen that in my own family, where I had a relative who had some suspect behaviors outside of with his wife, and his son, years later, unbeknown to him, but because of the generational curse, fall into the same sins and even worse sins, and the son ended up getting divorced because of his unscrupulous behavior. You know, that's why it's so important to have good conduct and be a good example and serve a good example. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to praise God. Enough said there, but you know, you want to live upright and morally. Ask God for wisdom. and an understanding heart in certain situations. So, here in 1 Kings 3:9, this is what I think David asked for. He says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge that so great of people?" You know, it is very important to ask God to give you spiritual discernment and wisdom so you can discern people's motives. There were times when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and told me to keep my distance from certain individuals in the church and at my job. You know, in one situation, I kept my distance for 7 years and then end up, because of proximity of workspace, close to an individual and asking me questions about my job, the lab, and work-related stuff, you know, I kind of let down my guard and just chit-chatting and just sharing some things, all work-related. And the next thing I know, this individual going around telling people how me and her were real close, and said, if you mess over Greg, I'm gonna, you know, you're gonna have trouble with me because me and Greg are tight. And I said, I don't think we're that tight. But the Lord said, didn't I tell you to keep your distance? You know, so when God speaks to you, it's, how can I say this? Oh, Lord Jesus, give me insight. There's no statute of limitations of what he tells you to do. You know, if he tells you to keep your distance from somebody or to watch your back in a certain situation, it's from here on out. You know, like I said, I stayed away from this individual for 7 years on the job at a large facility. And all of a sudden, after the 7th year, I said, person is a pretty nice individual, but they had their own thoughts, you know, and after that I had to just cut it loose completely, because I didn't want to get into temptation. Amen. It is very important to ask God, like I said, for discernment and wisdom, so you can discern people's motives. Amen. All right, let's move on. Maintaining continuity. Is the fifth way to build honor, or continuation, I should say. The fifth way to build honor is to maintain continuity, keeping the process of ministry flowing and moving forward that God, through your man of God, has already started. We shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel every time. You know, it hurts me to see a man live his entire life and build a ministry, turn it over to sons, and the ministry collapses, and things don't prosper, you know. And the next thing you know, the church folds. You know, why is that? Because there was no continuity or no continuity, and lessons weren't learned during the process of time, or weren't taught for them to continue on the way they should advance the ministry. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Constantly preaching the word, continue in the things that you have been taught. You know, very important. You know, that's why the competency, you know, you got to be competent, you got to be trained. And then once you're trained, you got to stay on track and keep the continuity and keep what you've learned. You know, don't go off and start preaching another doctrine or something outside of what you've been taught. Stay on point, stay on target, amen? This is something that you're gonna definitely need to know. "And the word of the Lord increased," this is Acts 6:7, "and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." And you see, when the word of God is coming forth, for there to be continuity, the word of God has to increase, and the number of disciples must be multiplied in Darrow, in Gonzales, in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and the surrounding areas. Excuse me. And a great number of priests, a number of people, now become obedient to the faith. In other words, they pick up their assignments and begin to walk in their God-given assignments. You know,
That's so very important. That's actually the mission statement of this ministry. And the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied. I've seen that happen in Darrell, in Baton Rouge, in Gonzales, you know. And a great company of priests have been obedient to the faith. You know, as a student in this school of ministry, you're being obedient to the faith. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of students being obedient to the faith. I did letters of recommendation for several students going into LTMA, you know, because they, you know, the continuity, I mean, keeping the ministry, keeping the mission, keeping the vision moving forward. Amen. All right, let me move on. Ministers and Ministry of Health workers need to understand the importance of continuity or continuation of the generational anointing, generational legacy. We can't, we don't need to reinvent the wheel any longer. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Paul, the God of Apostle Thompson wants us to continue the generational anointing until the next generation. What the Father started, we must continue. Taking the revelation and the vision to the next level, you know, keeping it moving forward. Amen. All right. Now listen up. Any good father, spiritual father, wants their children to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they could. They now begin to build upon the foundation that their father has laid, carrying out the legacy and building upon the foundation of the father for the next generation. And that's so very important. That's called spiritual fathering. Any spiritual father always wants their children to take the torch of ministry and advance it to the next level, you know, beginning to build upon the foundation that was laid by the father and carrying on the legacy, you know, and building it, that foundation that the father has laid. Amen. God is the God of multi-generations or multi-blessings. In fact, the most consistent, successful financial dynasties in the world can be attributed to generational vision, planning, strategies, and a commitment to adhere to the goals and the plans. Don't let the vision go. Don't let the vision die. The blessing will flow not only to you, but to your children and to your children's children. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. Number six, the sixth way to build honor is you must be confident. There's got to be a confidence there. Very, very, very important. 1 John 3:21-22 says, "Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God, not ourselves. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." But it says, beloved, if your hearts, you see, if you're walking in righteousness, your hearts is not going to condemn you. And you should have confidence towards God to carry out your assignment. Amen. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our confidence rests in him. Our confidence must rest in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want to rely on our own ability. Amen. Because we're doing supernatural divine ministry. So we need divine backup in order to do divine supernatural ministry. Our own limited knowledge and abilities won't get it. You know, we have to walk in the supernatural. We have to be anointed and equipped to God and have that confidence we need. Philippians 1:12-14 says, "But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, so when you have a man of God, as like in this example with Paul, who says, you know, I want you to understand that the things that happened to me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. So even though I might have been persecuted, even though I might have been slandered, you know, but the gospel comes on. It says, for that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confidence. In other words, they have developed confidence because they see me pressing forward. Now, when I see my man of God pressing forward, I see him, the ministry move forward, it gives me confidence, you know, because I know I'm a part of something, a vision that's going somewhere, a vision that has clear, precise direction. Amen? All right. And that's so very important. Like I said, the sixth way to build honor is that individuals must possess unshakable confidence. This has to be done with their faith. Faith and confidence run hand in hand. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to teach them how to function within the confines of God's word. And I mean, because everything is based upon the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Just about every successful ministry in our day is so because of significant faith, which does have a direct bearing on their confidence in God. Amen. Ephesians 3, 7 through 11 says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift and the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Paul. And verse 9 says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord. Why is this possible? Because he granted access, boldness, and confidence. Verse 13, I think it is, it says, in whom we have boldness, access, and confidence by the faith in him. Therefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Those called into ministry in this day must possess supernatural confidence, a confidence that's unshakable. Amen. Our confidence is not in our own ability. I want to state that our confidence is not in our own ability, but our confidence must rest in the fact that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, amen, and empowers us. So our confidence is not in our own ability. And that's why it's so very important to know how to yield. Yielding to God is you have to know how to yield. Yield properly. Yield means to give the Holy Ghost the right of way. And we just follow in his lead, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just reading some more confidence scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 4. And we have confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Amen. Hebrews 3 and 6 says, but Christ as the Son over our house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoice of the hope, firm to the end. Hebrews 3 and 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. God will do what he said he's going to do. Amen. Here's something else I want you to remember. This is Hebrews 10 and 35. Cast therefore not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Amen. That's so very important, not to cast our confidence. Cast away our confidence, hallelujah, but hold fast to it. Remember, if you don't believe in what God called you to do, no one else will, amen? All right, the last and the final way to build honor. All of these steps are steps to help you build honor in your life, amen? And that last step is self-control. The seventh step to build honor is to exercise self-control. The spirit man needs to be in control at all times. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5, 22 through 25. That's very important that we know that. You need to know how to control your appetites, your emotions, your temperament. Exercise self-control over your senses. That's why it's so very important to renew your mind to the Word of God. So, because a lot of times, it's the mind or our emotions that get out of tune and get us to go in the wrong direction or get us to walk in fear, you know. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So it's so very important that we keep our minds renewed, amen, and stay in control. Let the spirit man be in control, but the soul has got to be in alignment with the spirit. The soul has got to be renewed. And that's why it's so important to stay in the Word of God, stay in prayer, and take time to hear what God is telling you. Take time to hear. Because it's one thing to pray, but you need to be still and know that He is God and listen for instructions. All right, 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through 27. It says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run, this is Paul talking, not as uncertainly, so fight I, that as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body, bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So you want to keep your body under subjection. You want to stay under self-control. Don't let your body rule you. You rule your body. Keep your soul in alignment with your spirit, and keep your spirit in constant communication with God. You can't help but be successful. You can't help but strive towards the mastery. Amen. Keep my body under control, my spirit, not giving in to the appetites of the flesh, or the lust of the flesh. Also, they need to know how to function in their relationship with other ministers, those of lesser anointing and those of greater anointing. Know that everybody's not on the same level, and to respect the ministry gifts and those people God's called to the fivefold ministry gift, and know how to honor them properly, because that's so very important that we do that. Once we develop this kind of individuals or those kinds of ministries, we have entered the process of sowing the seed of honor. So once we develop this kind of individual, and when I say this kind of individual, just going back to what we talked about earlier, those who know they're called, those who have been commissioned, those who have been competent and know how to be competent in ministry, how to exercise self-control, know how to exercise and keep the ministry flowing forward by continuity or continuity, I should say, and having confidence in the work that you're doing, and at the same time maintaining self-control. Not giving yourself open to the dictates of the flesh, but keeping your spirit renewed with the Word of God and in alignment with your soul, keeping your soul renewed and your soul in alignment with your spirit, so that you can hear God and flow properly. Because once that takes place, once we develop this kind of individual or these kind of ministries, we have entered the process of sowing the seed of honor, you know. And when you sow the seed of honor in that capacity, you're going to reap the seed of honor.
Amen. And you're going to, you want to, and no matter how long it takes, you know, you may say, I've been working out in the field, I've been doing this, but God is not going to forget your labor of love. You know, God is not going to forget, you know, the time that you put in, the effort and the energy that you do in serving him. Amen. When Jesus came as a gift, he came as an honor seed. Okay, Jesus was an honor seed because he sold his life. Amen. This was his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to honor you in total submission. Basically, that's what he says. I'm going to honor you in total submission. He says, you know, if this cup can pass, you know, Father, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. You see, when you get to the point, Lord, it's not about me, but it's about me fulfilling the will of God for my life. Then God now is able to use you. And as you stay connected to your covering, to your pastor, your apostolic covering, and do like Elijah, you know, never leave your man of God. Even if he sends you to open up a church somewhere, but when he has a meeting, you need to be at the meeting. When he's traveling, if you can travel with him, you need to be there, because your blessing rides upon things that comes out of his mouth, and you need to be there to receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I said, when Jesus came as a gift, he came as an honor seed. This was his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. I'm going to honor your will, and I'm going to submit to it. Amen. Our job then is to raise up a generation of men and women who do not just know how to do good church, but understand how to sow the seed of honor. It's one thing that we're doing good church, but you need to know how to sow the seed of honor. Amen. Listen to this. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience, because in obedience is still an element of self. I may obey outwardly, but not in the heart. But total submission is yielding spirit, soul, and body to the call or the assignment. I'm going to read that again. You know, the scripture says to obey is better than sacrifice, and that's true. But there's even another level of not just obeying, but walking in total submission. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. In obedience is still the element of self. I may obey outwardly. You know, I used to hear that expression about the kid. They're telling him to stand up, and he'll stand up out of obedience. But in his heart, he's really sitting down because he don't want to do it. You know, so that's that element of self. I may obey outwardly, but not in the heart. But total submission is yielding your spirit, your soul, and your body to the call and to the assignment of God. And that's what you want to do. You want to yield your total spirit, soul, and body to the call. And when you do that, you can't help but sow seeds of honor and reap the benefits and the blessings of honor. In my life now, I'm seeing the benefits and the blessing of the seeds of honor that I've sowed over the past 30 years. God is blessing me, and he's continually blessing me. Like I said, I'm right down from the church now. I used to be 28 miles away. Now I'm 3 miles away. You know, God has blessed me, and I know my blessing is a direct result of my submission, my obedience, in honoring my man of God. Things I didn't even believe for. I just wanted to serve. God has blessed me in tremendous ways. But it all starts with your honoring the call, being commissioned, being confirmed, you know, being competent, you know, learning how to exercise self-control, all of those seven aspects, you know. And when you do that, you can't help but be blessed and see the provision of God in your life. Students, it's been a blessing and it's been an honor to serve this semester, this year, in the capacity as an instructor. I thank God for this opportunity, and I trust that what we shared these, you know, several months has been a blessing to you. And remember this, once you graduate, that's only the beginning. Now you got to continue to serve and to continue to serve, continue to sow and continue to sow. In Jesus' name, it's been a blessing. I'll see you at some of the meetings. If you see me, let me know that you've been a student in my class, and we'll get time of fellowship. Be blessed. Amen.